ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय।
रीडिंग फ्रॉम श्रीमद् भागवतम कैंटो 8 चैप्टर 7। लॉर्ड शिव सेव्स द यूनिवर्स। टेक्स्ट नंबर 13।
पश्चात्मनि गोत्र नेत्रयोः परेणते पराविष्टा समेधिताः ममन्थुरब्धिं तरसा मोदत्कटा महाद्रिणाक्षोभितनक्रचक्रम्
उपर। ट्रांसलेशन। The demigods and demons worked almost madly for the nectar. Encouraged by the Lord, who was above and below the mountain and who had entered the demigods, the demons, Vasuki and the mountain itself. Because of the strength of the demigods and the demons, the ocean of milk was so powerfully agitated that all the alligators in the water were very much perturbed. Nonetheless, the churning of the ocean continued in this way. There is no purport to next few verses, so I'll continue to read the translations. Text 14. Vasuki had thousands of eyes and mouths. From his mouths, he breathed smoke and blazing fire, which affected the demons, headed by Poloma, Kaleya, Bali, and Ilva. Thus, the demons, who appeared like Sarala trees bound by a forest fire, gradually became powerless. Text 15. Because the demigods were also affected by the blazing wreath of Vasuki, their bodily luster diminished, and their garments, garlands, weapons, and faces were blackened by smoke. However, by the grace of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, clouds appeared on the sea, pouring torrents of rain, and breezes blew, carrying particles of water from the sea waves to give the demigods relief. Text 16. When nectar did not come from the ocean of milk, despite so much endeavor by the best of the demigods and demons, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Ajita, personally began to churn the ocean. Text 17. The Lord appeared like a blackish cloud. He was dressed with yellow garments. His earrings shone on his ears like lightning, and his hair spread over his shoulders. He wore a garland of flowers, and his eyes were pinkish. With his strong, glorious arms, which awed fearlessness throughout the universe, he took hold of Vasuki and began churning the ocean, using Mandara mountain as the churning rod. When engaged in this way, the Lord appeared like a beautifully situated mountain named Indra Nila. Text 18. The fish, shark, tortoises, and snakes were most agitated and perturbed. The entire ocean became turbulent, and even the large aquatic animals like whales, water elephants, crocodiles, the mingle of fish, large whales that can swallow small whales, came to the surface. While the ocean was being churned in this way, it first produced a fiercely dangerous poison called halahala. Text 19. O king, when that uncontrollable poison was forcefully spreading up and down in all directions, all the demigods, along with Lord himself, approached Lord Shiva, Sadashiva. Feeling unsheltered and very much afraid, they sought shelter of him. Purport. One may question that since the Supreme Personality of Godhead was personally present, why did he accompany all the demigods and people in general to take shelter of Lord Shiva, Lord Sadashiva, instead of intervening himself? In this connection, Srila Madhavacharya warns, Rudrasya yasaso arthaya swayam Vishnur visham vibhuhu na sanjare samarthopi vayum chose prashantaye. Lord Vishnu was competent to rectify the situation. But in order to give credit to Lord Shiva, he later drank all the poison and kept it in his neck. Lord Vishnu did not take action. Already, Hare Krishna. So today we are reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, which chapter describes Lord Shiva saves the universe. And in this pastime of churning the milk ocean, in the first few verses, we are seeing how the Supreme Lord Krishna, Vishnu, is actually helping at all stages of this pastime. So in the few verses translation that I read, you must have noticed that how the Lord actually empowered not only the demigods but the demons also. And he was supporting the mountain from below and giving all the strength to the demons and the demigods to churn the milk ocean. But despite all this, the nectar was not coming out. So the Lord, normally it is said, when the Lord gives instruction, or the spiritual master gives instruction, along with instructions come the empowerment. But the power also, like sometimes we can give strength to certain object, but that object can take strength up to certain extent, then it breaks down, isn't it? So here, although the Lord is empowering, still the nectar was not coming out. And that situation, the Lord himself comes to help directly. Like that Krishna says, whatever you lack, I carry, and whatever you have, I preserve. There is no diminution in Krishna consciousness. So here we see, after Lord even empowering all the people who are engaged in his instruction, for carrying out his instructions, his order, still the nectar was not coming out. So the Lord himself came down and started churning. Like hands-on management, they say. Where the top boss is coming down and working with all his workers, servers, servants. Hands-on management, directly. So, and while doing so, the churning created such a turmoil in the ocean, you can imagine what kind of churning it must be. You can't actually imagine the kind of, sometimes we churn yogurt to get butter. So some sound comes and the butter comes up. It is said in the buttermilk that we drink has no butter in it. Although it is called buttermilk, butter is taken out because that butter part is considered bad for the health, fat. So when you churn the butter out, whatever remains in the pot is called buttermilk, which is good for the health. So in the beginning of churning, whatever came out was like poison, which is not good. But this poison was very dangerous, halahal. So as soon as this poison comes, it is explained that when that uncontrollable poison was forcefully spreading up and down in all directions, all the demigods, along with the Lord himself, approached Lord Shiva, Sadashiva, feeling unsheltered and very much afraid. They sought shelter of him. And Srila Prabhupada explains in the purport, one should not think that Lord Vishnu is incapable of handling the poison, therefore he is going to worship Lord Shiva. And in the next few verses in this chapter, we will see that how all the demigods, in presence of Lord Vishnu, is glorifying Lord Shiva. And when they're glorifying Lord Shiva, they're addressing him as if he is the Supreme Lord. So when we hear such kind of episodes, we get confused. Like in the second offense against Holy Name, we recite every day that if one compares or if one thinks that the Lord's Holy Name is equal to, or the names of demigods like Lord Shiva or Brahma to be equal to or independent of Lord Krishna's Holy Name, then that is an offense. And here, right in front of Supreme Lord, if somebody glorifies somebody who is inferior, then it is offense to the Lord. The demigods are the best of the best learned in the scriptures, you know. They are very learned in the scriptures. They know the Vedas, they know all the etiquettes. But why they are doing it? So, Prabhupada says, quotes Madhavacharya, Lord Vishnu was competent to rectify the situation. But in order to give credit to Lord Shiva, who later drank all the poison kept in his neck, Lord Vishnu did not take action. So Lord Vishnu was competent, but he wanted to give credit to Lord Shiva. So today I'll just like to speak a little bit on Lord Shiva's glories. Because of his exalted position, Lord Krishna always wants to give credit. Like in Bhagavad Gita also, Krishna says to Arjun in the 11th chapter, that actually, in the 11th chapter, of course, Arjuna sees himself, the universal form. Arjuna actually foresees what is going to happen in the future. All the warriors are dying. They're crushing against Krishna's various fiery faces of universal form. They're crushing against his teeth, sometimes in between the teeth, entering into the mouth of universal form. They're all dying. Vishma, Drona, all of these great warriors were dying, falling. So Krishna showed. Then he says, Arjuna, don't think that if you don't fight, they are not going to die. Because I have decided to finish them because of their sinful activities. They must die. Like a criminal must be punished. Similarly, those who are mischievous or those who do not obey the orders of the Lord, they must be finished. So, since I have desired it, being the Supreme Lord, it's going to happen anyway. So what you do, you just be an instrument of my instructions. And you take the credit. Although it's Krishna who's going to do everything, he's saying, you do it, you take the credit. Why? Why Krishna is choosing Arjuna to take the credit? Because Arjuna is a devotee. Arjuna is his very dear friend and devotee. So Krishna, out of his love for his devotees, always wants to give credit to them. So here also, Lord Krishna wants to give credit to Lord Shiva to handle this poison. Also, you can see any massive scale activities can create environmental problems, like industries. They create a lot of, environmental hazard things, the wastages, and we do not know how to handle it. But Lord Shiva is such a compassionate person. Here he handles the bad part of that massive effort, that is the poison. And it is explained by once Jananivas Prabhu was speaking to us. He said two things are very difficult to understand in the Shastra, or two things are misunderstood by most of the people in this world, and there one is Sambhu Tattva or Lord Shiva, the other is Guru Tattva, a spiritual master. These two personalities are the most difficult personalities to comprehend and understand and appreciate. Lord Shiva is explained as a Guna Avatar. He is the incarnation of the Lord. At the same time, he is considered not God. Like if you consider Jiva Tattva or Ishwara Tattva, Krishna, it is easier to understand. Relatively easier to understand. It's not easy. Jiva Tattva means, Krishna says in 15th chapter of Bhagavad Gita that Dvavaimo Puruso Loke Kshara Chaksharevacha Ksharam Sarvani Bhutani Kutastha Kshara Uchyate. There are two types of living entities, jivas. One is Kshara, fallible, like all of us. And the other is Akshara, those who reside eternally in the spiritual kingdom. They never fall down. So two categories, very clear. Kshara Chakshara Vacha, Kshara Sarvani Bhutani, Kutastha Kshara Uchyate. Then he says, above these two types of living entities who are part and parcel of the Lord, Mame Vamsa Jiva Loke, Jiva Bhuta Sanatana. The other is Paramatma, Paramatmiti Udaharita. He says, above this is Paramatma, who has entered into this entire creation and is sustaining it. That is Paramatma. That is Ishwara, Krishna. Krishna's expansion as Paramatma. And the third feature he says is Purushottama, or Krishna himself, the personality of God. In the next verse he says, what is that verse? Third verse. Uttamastu Purushasanya Paramatmeti Udhar. That is second. What is the third? Yasman. Yashmat Kshara. He says, Yatoshmi Loke Vedecha Kritita Purushottama. Yeah, very nice. Thank you. So he says, but I myself as Purushottam is beyond this Jiva and Paramatma. And I am the Supreme Personality of Godhead as proclaimed by all the scriptures. That's how Krishna is introducing himself, that he is the Supreme Lord. So that is clear. It is very clear. But when it comes to with regard to Shambhu Tattva, Lord Shiva, it is very difficult to comprehend. Because, like I have quoted this second offense, that in Padma Purana it is said that if you think names of demigods like Lord Shiva, Lord Brahma to be equal to or independent of Lord Krishna's holy name, then it is an offense against holy name. We cannot consider them to be equal. But in other place in Padma Purana, it is again explained, like I'll just quote it. It's in Krishna Kathamrita Bindu. There is this Padma Purana again states, there is a verse. I don't know whether it comes before or after this Namaparad statements. It said, to consider Lord Shiva different from Krishna is a serious spiritual deviation. I'm just telling why it is so difficult to understand. I'm not confusing, I hope. I'm just quoting whatever is there. To consider Lord Shiva different from Krishna is a serious spiritual deviation. The personality of Godhead tolerates offenses against himself, but not against Lord Shiva. So, actually this comes in Brihat Bhagavatamrita by Sanatana Goswami. I'm sorry, it's not Padma Purana. Lord Shiva is described as a recipient of Lord Vishnu's mercy. But this does not mean that the two Lords are different from one another in the same way that Lord Vishnu differs from the Jivas. So we should not consider the way we are different from the Lord. We should not consider the Lord Shiva is in the same way different from Lord Krishna. Although there is difference, Kshiram Yatha Dadi Vikara Vishesha Yogat, Brahma Samhita explains that how, what is the difference between Lord Vishnu and Lord Krishna? And just like milk is one kind of, milk is compared to Lord Vishnu, but same milk when comes in contact with some culture becomes yogurt, that yogurt is compared to Lord Shiva. Although yogurt is essentially milk, but at the same time it is not milk. We can always get yogurt out of milk, but milk not get milk out of yogurt. So there is a difference, but at the same time there is no difference. That's how Lord Brahma is explaining the position of Lord Shiva. So, therefore, our Gopi Paramahansa Prabhu, he explains, Lord Shiva is described as a recipient of Lord Vishnu's mercy, but this does not mean that the two Lords are different from one another in the same way that Lord Vishnu differs from Jivas. The Padma Purana includes Nama Aparad, Namavada Bhanjana Stotra, a list of 10 offenses against chanting Lord Vishnu's name. And it is explained, therein it is said, one who sees differences between any of Lord Shiva's qualities, names, and those of Sri Vishnu's is an antagonist to Harinam. So it's explained in a little different way. And we should not consider Lord Shiva's name, qualities, to be different from those of Vishnu. Then it is Namaparad. So, all these points, like how in the next few verses, the demigods is glorifying Lord Shiva as if he is Vishnu. And Vishnu is standing right there, not objecting or not feeling bad, not feeling offended. So all this point shows that Lord Shiva is a very, very special personality. And we cannot consider him to be same as Vishnu. At the same time, we cannot consider him to be different from Vishnu. But then there are so many controversies because of these issues. And there are so many fights that goes on between followers of Lord Shiva and Vishnu. But we'll see that there is one small pastime of Srila Prabhupada. Explained, Giriraj Swami was visiting South India and he came across this some person, very aristocratic rich person. His name was Mr. Ramakrishna. And he was worshipper of Lord Shiva, very strict follower of Lord Shiva. And he was impersonalist. So Giriraj Swami, he would always discuss with Giriraj Swami and make so many controversial points. Giriraj Swami tried to convince him, but he would not be convinced. Finally, once Giriraj Swami wrote to Srila Prabhupada, he said, such and such person I am meeting, but I am not able to convince him. Would you like to come and see him? Like he is asking Prabhupada. Prabhupada said, yes, I will come and see him. So Prabhupada came and met him. And I forgot the first time. he says that in Bhagavad Puran it is explained that Krishna worships Lord Shiva many places, like in Mahabharata, Krishna worships Shiva to get a son from Jambavati or Satyabhama. After Ramayana, Lord Ram worships Shiva, Rameshwar deity is coming. So in Bhagavad Puran it is explained that worship of Lord's devotee is more important than the worship of Lord Krishna says that worship of my devotee is more important than worshipping me. So therefore I worship Lord Shiva always. I don't have to worship Krishna. I take a superior path, he says. He claims like that. And Prabhupada says, okay, if you want to worship Lord Shiva, considering him as devotee of Krishna, then it is okay. We have no problems. Because if you accept him as Vaishnava, best of all Vaishnavas, Vaishnamatha Sambhu, then it is okay. You just do that. And when a person does like that, ultimately, he will come to Krishna. So actually, if somebody is a true follower of Lord Shiva, ultimately he worships Krishna. And if one is a true follower of Krishna, he worships Lord Shiva. There is no controversy. Only those who are not true worshippers of Shiva and those who are not true worshippers of Krishna quarrel among each other. It's like that. There are so many examples. Like one, it happens. That one person was, somebody asked Srila Prabhupada, this same Ramakrishna only asks, that you say that there is those who go to Lord Shiva basically goes with a material motive, to get something, to win some material profit, some job or getting married and things like that, you know. There are always long queues outside Lord Shiva's temple. I have seen myself on Shivaratri day especially. People stand for a long, long time. It is not bad to going to Lord Shiva. Ultimately because he purifies the person. So, Prabhupada says, those who go to Lord Shiva, they have material desire. Therefore, they cannot do devotion to Lord Shiva. There cannot be any devotion to Lord Shiva, because when you approach somebody with a desire to be fulfilled, that means how can you love that person? When we have a desire to get a profit from out of that association, then what is the question of love? Because there is a motive behind it. Only when there is a desire to help and serve selflessly, then there is love. So because these people go to Shiva with a desire to get some things, therefore there cannot be love, there cannot be devotion. And then Ramakrishna said, no, but then it is possible, isn't it? Technically speaking, it is possible to love Lord Shiva without any, one can go to Lord Shiva's temple without any material motives. Prabhupada says, yes, it is possible, but that is rare. And he says, just like when a person enter a liquor shop, you know, where the liquors are served, generally it is assumed that he is going to drink there, isn't it? We don't say he is going to liquor shop, but will drink water there. Somebody is entering liquor shop means he is going to drink. Similarly, somebody is entering Lord Shiva's temple, that means he is going to ask something. But there are rare people maybe there who may just decide after entering a liquor shop, no, I don't want to drink because it is bad. It is bad for society, it is bad for my family, it is bad for my health. Everything is bad. So, Prabhupada says, but there are rare examples, rare people who worship Lord Shiva. And one such example is, there is actually one pure devotee of Lord Shiva. His name was Harivamsa. All of you must have heard this story. Harivamsa, he was worshipping, I think it was in Himalayas, his proper meditation for long, long years. Just to please and satisfy Lord Shiva. And Lord Shiva became so pleased with him, he actually appeared to him and asked for a benediction, for a boon. And this person, he says, no, actually I don't want anything. I'm just happy loving you. I don't want anything from you. But the Lord Shiva is accustomed to give something. You know, so many people come and ask, he just keeps giving, because he's Ashutosh. He's a very nice person. He just immediately just keeps giving things. That people will go to him. No, you must take something from me. Then he says, okay, whatever is most dear to you, please give that to me. At that time, Lord Shiva, actually he puts his hand in a cave and brings out a very beautiful deity of Lord Krishna. And he says his name is Radha Vallabh, that deity name. And he says, you worship this deity with all your life and soul. And immediately, this person actually brings the deity back to Vrindavan. Vrindavan is the place where Lord Krishna's all beautiful pastimes took place. In that potent place, he established that deity, make a very nice, beautiful temple. And still today, the worship is going on. Anybody who visits Vrindavan can take darshan of this beautiful deity. This is one example. There are so many other examples. Like when the Prachetas were worshipping Lord Vishnu, Lord Shiva appeared to them. Lord Shiva says, I am very happy in association of devotees. Actually, Lord Shiva's character is so much full of thing that he likes, like Gauropalpa was explaining in one class, that how Lord Shiva likes to put on Vaishnava attire, right? He likes to put on tilak and nice dhoti, clean bath and all these things. He likes, because he is, after all, he is worshipper of Lord Krishna. In his hand, he is always carrying a japamala. If you see Lord Shiva sitting, but he is carrying a japamala in his hand and always meditating on Lord Ram, Shankarshan. In that way, he is relishing himself. He is relishing from within. But then, because of his compassionate nature, he goes out and meets all kinds of people. He is in charge of mode of ignorance. It is explained in one of Puranas that if one, those who are in mode of goodness and passion, mixed with passion, worship Lord Sun God, Suryadev. Those who are mixed with passion, goodness and ignorance, they worship Lord Ganesh. And those who are in mode of passion and ignorance worship Durga and Kali. And those who are in pure mode of ignorance, they worship Lord Shiva. So it is easier to live with devotees, talk about Krishna. It's very easy. But to go out and reach to people who are in mode of ignorance and try to speak to them and try to make them Krishna conscious is the most difficult thing. So Lord Shiva took the responsibility with those who are completely oblivious to Krishna's worship. They're completely against Krishna's worship, like demons, like Ravana, Hiranyakashipu. Ravana was worshipper of Lord Shiva. All the demons worship, Kamsa worshipped Shiva. And Shiva is actually so merciful because of his mercy, they get darshan of Krishna. Unless, it is explained, that unless one gets mercy of Vaishnava, one cannot have mercy of Krishna. It is explained like that. So, in one of the lecture, His Holiness Gaura Govind Swami Maharaj, he was speaking, that Vrindavan Das Thakur, he says, those who don't worship Lord Chaitanya, you kick on their faces. He says like that. Then he explains that getting kick of a Vaishnava is not an ordinary affair, because getting kick means getting the dust of the lotus feet. And that dust is so powerful that it can purify one, become, make him Krishna conscious. So similarly, all these demons, Lord Shiva gives his association, and ultimately they encounter, either in the war or in fight or somehow they encounter the Lord, and they get liberated, like Ravana, comes all these people. So Lord Shiva is basically worshipper of Krishna, loves Krishna, and he wants to have all this Vaishnava attire. But then he thought, if I put on tilak and all these things, kanthimala, clean dresses, 3 times bath a day, then all my followers, like all the ghostly people, you know, those are in mode of ignorance, very, you know, drunkard and smoker and all these people, they will also, because they worship me, they will take up such kind of attire. Although they cannot give up these bad habits, and they will put on tilak, kanthimala, and this will contaminate the whole Vaishnava society. So therefore, to protect Vaishnava society, he puts an ash on his body from crematorium. There are snakes and scorpions and spiders all over his body. But he is always worshipping in his heart of heart Krishna. Always earns. Like he wanted Sanatana Goswami to stay on in Vrindavan. Therefore, he advised the demigod of mosquitoes to get out of from that place. His influence should not be there. Because Sanatana Goswami was disturbed by mosquitoes for some time. He didn't want to hurt the mosquitoes, therefore he wanted to leave. Because he is such a Vaishnava. He did not want to disturb the mosquitoes. He said, I am a disturbance to the mosquitoes here, therefore I will go away from here. So Lord Shiva said, no, you don't go. You stay here, the mosquitoes will go. I will make arrangement. So he did the arrangement. So in this way, Lord Shiva, although his incarnation at the same time is not the Supreme Lord, is a devotee of the Lord, and Lord worships him. Sometimes people say, why? Because Lord Krishna worships, Lord Ram worships Shiva before the war with Ravana, therefore Shiva is supreme. People argue like that, not understanding the point. Prasila Prabhupada says, if Lord Shiva is giving somebody shelter, like Ravana, and somebody else comes and asks him that you give me benediction so that I can kill the person who has taken shelter of you, then how can he give the blessings? Suppose I have given shelter to somebody, and another person comes and he says, okay, you have given shelter to him, but I want to kill him. Please give me your permission. Then what kind of master am I? So the whole pastime is misunderstood and misinterpreted by people. Lord Krishna worships Lord Shiva, like Lord Krishna says in Gita, whatever I do, people will follow it because I am the supreme authority. So when I worship devotees, if I worship Lord Shiva, then others will also follow me and worship Lord Shiva. If I don't worship, neglect him because he's already putting on ashes and scorpions, snakes, it is naturally repelling. Nobody is going to expect him, or people may say he's a mad person, things like that. it may people may give so many kind of excuses, but because I am worshipping Lord Shiva, therefore naturally people will follow it and worship him. And not only Krishna worships just Lord Shiva, Krishna also worships Sudama Vipra when he came visited his house. Sudama Vipra is also a Brahmana. He's just a Brahmana. But because he is pure devotee of Krishna, friend of Krishna, therefore Krishna, although Supreme Lord, he worships him. So it should not be concluded that just because Krishna worshipped Lord Shiva, therefore Shiva is superior. It's not like that. On the other hand, Lord Shiva is hankering to worship Lord Krishna. There is one other pastime in Vrindavan. That when Lord Krishna appeared in Vrindavan, Lord Shiva came to know about it. That my Supreme Lord, he has appeared in this world. And he was very eager to take darshan of Krishna, Bal Krishna, baby Krishna. Because normally he always sees him in his full-fledged. So he wanted to take that beautiful Krishna's small form. So he walks into Nandagram. And after reaching Nandagram, he finds out the way to Nanda Bhavan. And in Nanda Bhavan, he knocks the door. When he knocks the door, and Yashoda Mai, she comes. Mother Yashoda, she comes and she opens the door. And as soon as she opens the door, she sees a yogi full of ashes all over his body and snakes around his neck and jata like matted hair and scorpions and spiders and all these kind of things in his tiger skin and a damru, trident. So she gets scared. She is not scared. She is, after all, he is a yogi. But she says, if my Krishna sees this kind of person, because he is a small baby that time, probably he will be afraid. And he'll get disturbed, he'll cry, things like that. So she closes the door, she says, no, you just go away from here. And Lord Shiva becomes a little upset because he actually became very upset because he came with a yearning in his heart to see Krishna, but he was denied. Just sometimes we go in yatra, just before we enter the temple, the darshan closes. So we feel a little bad. But Lord Shiva is like Supreme Lord, best of all Vaishnavas. So he just went out and sat there, thinking about his misfortune and meditating on Krishna, praying for his darshan. And Lord Krishna immediately understood his super soul. He understood his devotee sitting outside. So what he did, Lord Krishna started to cry very loud. So frantically he cried that nobody could pacify him. Mother Yashoda could not pacify all the gopis from the Vrindavan. They all came, they started to pacify, nobody could pacify. Then one elderly intelligent gopi, she asked Mother Yashoda, did you some offense to somebody? You must have done something wrong, therefore he is crying, something is wrong. Did you offend anybody? Mother Yashoda is such a nice person, she is the best of all mothers, the best of all ladies. How could she offend anyone? Then she thought, yes, I think I did some offense to that yogi who came to my door. Then they said, okay, we have to go and ask him forgiveness. So while asking forgiveness, the yogi said, I will give forgiveness, but there is one condition, that I want to see your baby child, Krishna. Then Yashoda again opposed. He said, no, it is not possible because this small baby and your avatar is like this, how can he withstand this vision? He says, no, that is the only condition. And finally, other gopis advise, and she brings out Krishna. And when Krishna sees him, his crying stops. And as soon as Krishna stops crying, she takes him back to house. Again he cries. Again she is in trouble. Again she brings back, says, what should we do? He is not stopping, he's taken darshan. Lord Shiva says, if you do one thing, his crying will stop. Forever, permanently. He says, what should he do? He says, bring his lotus feet and put them on my head. Then Mother Yashoda again becomes a little afraid. Then the other gopis say, no, just careful, you can do it. It's not a problem. So they take Krishna's lotus feet and put on Lord Shiva's jata. And Shiva becomes very happy. And Lord Krishna starts to smile. And when they see that smile, all the gopis become very happy. Then Yashoda says, you are a very nice person. You don't leave Nandagram. You stay always here. He says, okay, I will stay here, but then another condition. So what is the condition? Now when you bath Krishna every day, that bathing water you bring and sprinkle on me. I'll be right next to your door. You sprinkle every day on me. And whenever whatever he eats, whatever remains, bring that prasad to me. So this Mahadev, Nandishwar Mahadev? Nandishwar Mahadev. That Shiva deity is there, the temple is there. Still today, Krishna Balaram, they take their bath in Nanda Bhavan, the deities are there, and that water is taken to this Lord Shiva. So Lord Shiva is devotee of Krishna. He loves Krishna's worship. And as a reciprocation, Lord also worships Lord Shiva. And one of the name of Lord Shiva is Gangadhar. Gangadhar means he is carrying Ganges on his jata, on his head. And what is Ganges? Ganges is the water from the lotus feet of Krishna. So in this way, Lord Shiva is constantly worshipping Lord Krishna. And whenever Krishna gets an opportunity, he immediately glorifies Lord Shiva, immediately worships him and becomes very happy because of his sacrifices that he has made for the sake of Krishna. So Lord Shiva is such a surrendered personality to Lord Krishna that whatever nobody else does, nobody is not willing to do, Lord Krishna asks him to do. You know, sometimes if we want something to do or we like something to do and our superior asks us to do it, it is very easy to do because after all we like it. Like for example, if somebody likes book distribution and asks to be distribute books, it is good. Of course, very few people, you know, it's very difficult to go out and actually approach unknown strangers and try to give them a book, Bhagavad Gita, telling them that it is good for you, and although it is good for him or her, that person is not knowing that it is good for him or her. And it's very difficult to approach such people and give them a book which is good for them. It's like approaching a person, diseased man, telling him, take the medicines. It will cure your disease. Very difficult. So doing things which you don't want is a sign of greater surrender to Krishna. So Lord Shiva does those things which nobody else would actually sometimes even dare to do. Like he's taking care of all these ghostly personalities. Because every living entity is Krishna's son, Aham Vijayaprada Pita. Every living entity is actually related to Krishna. So when we go away from Krishna, trying to enjoy in our own way, that hurts Krishna. And he wants every one of us to come back, including those in mode of ignorance. Those who are addicted to intoxications and mad people, sleeping all the time. So it may be very difficult for us to approach and preach to them, but Lord Shiva takes care of such people. So therefore, Lord Krishna loves him above all the Vaishnavas. He says, it is explained in one Purana, that Lord Krishna actually expresses to Srimati Radharani that there is no one who is more dear to me than Lord Shiva in the entire three worlds. He says like that. So, therefore, we should not, as Vaishnavas, Lord Shiva is the topmost of all examples, and we have to worship, honor, and take inspiration from him to surrender and serve Lord Shri Krishna. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. There are many more things actually. I was just reading these books and so much glories of Lord Shiva came, unlimited. But I am limited and I cannot really fathom all these things. But Lord Shiva's position is very special. He's not like any other living entity, in brief. And he's non-different from Krishna. At the same time, he's different. and he worships Krishna, and Krishna, whenever he gets an opportunity, worships Lord Shiva. Those who follow Lord Krishna worships Lord Shiva with all their heart and soul. Normally we have seen Vaishnavas love Lord Shiva, but there are some hardcore Shaivites who hate Krishna. But actually, if somebody is true follower of Shiva, he will worship Krishna, like we gave the example of Haribams. There are so many other examples, Prachetas. Similarly, those who worship Lord Krishna also respect Lord Shiva with all their heart and soul. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Any comments or question? It's time. Srimad Bhagavat Mahapuran ki. Yes, I can talk to you. I can talk to you directly.